to the well. The well was dry. I said, play the game, and they said, nothing matters. Game. I looked to the west and saw the Romans. To the east, I saw the emperor. I saw kings and queens tossing their crowns, saying it's all fake. A quiver of bones, meaning nothing. Nothing matters. Blessings, greetings, in the name of Yeshua, Most High, Savior, Jehovah Jah, the Lord. Peace. I know you're finding it wonderful in these times. I find that the work of the Lord is more powerful today than it has been any other time in my lifetime. I'm very grateful for that, because without the Lord, I really have nothing. The Lord is my life. And I'm sure it's, you know, the same way for you. And let us just continue the dialogue we've been having on No Religionistas, meaning no scribes and Pharisees, no no pagan temples in the name of Jesus. No 501c3, of course. As I just said, no beholden to the state. Jesus is freedom. Jesus is revolution. Jesus is rebellion. Anything less than that is not Jesus, Mr. Rick Warren. Maybe you'll learn that. A lot of people on the internet going around giving Rick Warren a big pass because he said the name Yeshua. And that's, of course, why I do not listen to internet Christian people anymore. And why I have blocked most Christians or those kind of Christians from my email, so I don't get those kind of email circulars that seem confused, seem to have people wandering with a real lack of purpose, if you will. And they're either gossiping, and this is the same way in the forums, which is why I don't belong to any forum except crazylamb.com, because that one is one for people that have been pretty much burned by all this. But no, I have withdrawn myself from anything to do with people that send around apologies for Rick Warren or really what they do is they gossip either pro or con about the administration or this or that or how someone's really a Satanist or they're not really with it or they did this wrong or they did that wrong. And of course, we've known these people for years now, and I do not consider them brethren. I don't consider them Christians. I don't consider them baby Christians. I don't consider them born again. I don't consider them having an anointing. And many of them are people that, you know, we've known. Some have been on my show. But I just can't play games anymore. Hence, No Religionistas that cropped up the last year. Really, it was a response to internet Christendom, not so much to church Christendom. It was a response to internet Christendom. And then from there, it grew into its own podcast, which has to do with the Word of God, period. And that's really what we do here. For those who are tuning in afresh, it's really about the Word. And as far as I'm concerned, the Bible has been proven to me to be a document given from God to the people of the world for the purpose of their, not just instruction, but prophecy and fulfilled prophecy. Already many fulfilled prophecies, more fulfilled prophecies to come. And let me explain why. In Isaiah 45, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Yes, I do believe the internet does not know the Lord. The internet does not know the Lord, I said. Let me say it again. I don't believe that the internet knows the Lord any more than the system of religion really knows the Lord. I don't care what religion you're in. If the religion is to serve the Maker, then most religions do not know the Maker. And that's a very dangerous thing for the people. Because what it does is it conforms them to society without feeding them the food of the Spirit, because they know the food of the Spirit is dangerous. The power of Jesus is dangerous. The power of the supernatural is dangerous. Even a little kid can bind the entire administration of Obama and bind it for the 4-year duration. If it be God's will, of course. But why did God create that kid? Huh? Okay? Chicken or egg, make your pick. The point is, this is a very powerful weapon. The supernatural power is given to those, and those who are waking up. And like I said, there are many here. There are some, well, I stipulate to hybrids, yes. Or half-breeds, if you will. The idea of that there are angels in human flesh amongst us, and there are demons in human flesh. I just had to remind you of that. It's not just angels, but there are fallen angels in human, if you like, demons in human flesh as well, working for the other side. And this is all going at it in one big battle, one side versus another. In Isaiah 46, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will do it." Amen. He has purposed a plan in your life, and he will do it. He purposed it from afar off, before you were born. He purposed your plan, your life, and your steps. But I'm here to talk about the powers of those waking up. Jesus said, well, let me just continue this. "Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." Those of you who are hard-hearted, those of you who have gone carnal, you don't understand. This power is in the Spirit. There is no power in carnality. The only thing you can do in the carnal is to do the bidding of the prince of this world, prince of darkness, if you will, or the demonic that also exists. They are also shapeshifters, you know. But in general, let's admit that beings are barred from this world. They can possess others. There may be hybrids that are possessed of them. Hybrids meaning made in a laboratory, not hybrids meaning part angel, part human, if you will, that exist to do the Lord's bidding. But in general, demons are not wandering around on the streets unless they are in possession of a human. But even then, it's not a one-to-one relationship. There is something in the human doing what it's doing, and then the demon is getting access on occasion and twisting what is. Those who've said they've seen angels who have helped them, likewise. These are in human form, correct? And here they are being of service. You'd be surprised how many there are of those in throughout the world, but one must understand, when you look for them, you won't find them. They are not prevalent. And the reason they are not prevalent is because technically the human is supposed to have the human experience without really that much knowledge. In other words, you're not going to necessarily bunk with one of them. You might. But typically they're on the move. You may hear from them, yes. You may think you know them, but you don't really know them, because they're not really going to be completely of a human experience. You might call some of these otherworldly. Nonetheless, these have great powers to do things, just as, say, a prophet of the Lord has the power to bind an administration, to bind a senate, to bind a company, and to do all manner of things that may not be discussed here. And no, 3/4 of spiritual warfare will not be discussed here because of the dangers involved. Thank God most people don't know anything about it. I hear people saying they're experts in spiritual warfare. They don't know anything about what it means to go up against a demon. Okay, I'll explain one thing. Something thrown on me, but they don't understand where we come from. You see, some of us have been at war since we were born. There's more power in a person like that than there is in someone that just woke up to the Lord a few years ago. Yes, you can throw something on just about anybody in terms of I pray in Jesus' name that this one be bound and broken for his own good. Okay, fine. A lot of Christians are doing witchcraft, which that is in the hand of most of them, because they're ignorant. In fact, the most ignorant people on earth about the Lord and about the powers are Christians, which is an irony that makes sense if you think about it. The reason they have problems is because many who are not anointed will pray. Sometimes they'll see a result and then pray and then no result. And then they complain that they're getting things thrown on them. Well, when something is thrown at you, you're going to have to deal with it. If you've thrown something on someone that has powers, and as I said, most people in the United States don't have powers. So you can pretty much do whatever you want to anyone here, and it will have a result. Sorry to say. Yes, most are sold out to the satanic, and they know it, and they had an initiation that had to do with that. That's called the sin unto death. And as far as I'm concerned, they're not my concern. But they're always throwing things. When someone comes along and binds them on a permanent basis, they don't throw anything again, and their own usually reject them. So they're afraid. Some of these are afraid when they run into someone who has an anointing or has powers. Certain people have powers, others don't. You take a chance. You throw something on someone that's a lot stronger than you in the Lord, in powers and in anointing. And besides, the Lord has a path for them that does not include your throwing something on them. You will be reversed. And if you persist, you won't be around. It's just that really that simple. Things will happen in your life that just make sure most of the time what happens is people get endlessly distracted in their lives. Their jobs don't go well. Something happens and they're constantly spending 24/7 thinking about survival. No longer are they a threat. They've been neutralized. And that, there they stay usually for their life through their retirement until they're feeble and die. Having never learned the lesson, do not touch mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And that's basically something you have to understand. Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So to those who can do much in the way of the Lord's work, will the most power will be given to do these things. The Lord gives powers to bind anything that you will on earth will be bound in heaven. Those powers are given. But when you have powers given, these powers are not given to those who with eyes cannot see. For example, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even all that he has. You have to have the unction of the Lord to have the power. You have to have the permission from the Lord to do the things of using one's power. Then once one, you know what your status is with the Lord, you're expected to go use that power for good, just as there are others using it for evil. Most of the ones using it for evil will say the name Jesus. Most of the ones using it for good you may not really hear from them so much. They may not be so much in public prayers. Jesus this, Jesus that. I've seen prayers recently for the president to do good for the nation of America. And the failure to comprehend what America is, at long last, there's no excuse for it. Without understanding what America is, praying for the nation of America makes little to no sense whatsoever. I would suggest praying for your families, for your loved ones, for whatever the leader is to not be of any harm and to... But what is to do good? The most one can expect out of America is to live a certain number of years and then die. Or the things that one builds for them to fade away because all things are transitory. So what do you mean? Would it be a blessing for the financial debacle, which is really a theft, to go away? And the answer is no. A financial, at this point, America reaps what it sows. Socialism is what it has reaped. And you can thank your Christian churches and all the others who strip the power of people. And here's the thing they do. They tell you you don't have the powers of the Lord. They tell you you are not autonomous under the Lord. They tell you you must take your instruction from them. They will tell you you don't have the power to walk over scorpions and snakes. And what you bind here will be bound in heaven. And what you heal will be healed. And that one of you can take down a nation. And they won't tell you that. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. In Isaiah 6:9, also Ezekiel 12:2, and in Mark 4:12. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Because to understand and to take command, being if you were a royal priesthood, you would have powers and command. The powers to feed the 5,000, the power to convert thousands, the power to heal thousands, the power to bind and bring down the evil ones in the name of the Lord by the will of God. This is not going on. Rather, what we see upon the earth are petty squabblings saying, I pray in Jesus' name that this one be brought down. I pray in Jesus' name that this one be brought up. I pray in Jesus' name this one be protected. I pray in Jesus' name that we have provision. I pray in Jesus' name that I get this. I pray in Jesus' name that I get that. I don't like this person that's against the will. Lord, I'm here to do your will and stand against this person because they're not doing your will. Lord, they just threw something on me. Lord, give me the strength to stand with this because I threw something on them. Now they threw something on me. Now I threw something on them. Lord, please give me the power to stand. Lord, please give me this. Lord, please give me that. Lord, give me the power to stand. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Inept idiots! And powerless people, when they speak, nothing happens. No work gets done because they have no powers. They have no powers because they have no standing. They have no standing because they have no faith. They have no faith because they have no anointing. They were not called. They were not chosen. But yet they do the works of the Lord, they say. And yet they do not because the fruits do not bear that out. Half the time being victims. Complaining, crying, screaming, or please pray for this one, please pray for that one. When they say this one's going to die next week, please pray for him and his family. And Lord tells me, no, everything's fine. I say, what the heck are you doing? What is the matter with you? Did you not hear the Lord say it was fine? Some others did, so I have bear witness. No, zero. You're carnal. And you complain that the endless soap opera goes around and around and around. You better hope that someone with a real anointing does not bind you. That you just get to the point where they bind your tongue so you are silenced. Because that will happen should you continue. How many people, and now I'm told to move to Acts, so to Acts I go. I had other things to do. I just basically stick with the word, and that's where I stick. And so we get into the Acts, the day after the day of Pentecost. People got the Holy Spirit, and they absolutely had amazing powers. The power to prophesy, the power to bind up, the power to destroy, the power to be martyrs, which is a higher thing than actually destroying, the power to bind all demons, the power to do exorcisms, the power to, do many things. But anyway, the main thing is that when we see Peter being brought up from a man who is a carnal man who was brought finally into faith. And we see his acts that he did, meaning raising someone from the dead, converting 5,000 people. And of course, speaking sermons, doing things that he could not have done, being an uneducated man who was basically, kind of a salt of the earth guy that would never think of himself as somebody of words or letters. And yet he became just that virtually overnight. You don't see that, then you're not seeing anointing, you're not seeing power, you're not seeing the work of the Lord. You're not seeing that, then you're not doing the work of the Lord, you're not walking in the anointing, because why? You're distracted by the world, period, end of story. Right? Technically, you shouldn't even have to tune in here to this podcast, and if you had it going on, you really wouldn't need it. I mean, you might just because you're feeling a fellowship with me, and I feel a fellowship with you, and that's great, but the bottom line is are things, working? That's really what we have to see. We have to see things that are working. Peter also healed the lame. Peter would walk down the street. They would put, the mattresses of the sick into the streets, that when Peter walked by, they would be healed. I mean, that's the kind of power that he had. Demons were terrified of Peter. Demons were terrified of anybody with the Holy Spirit. Demons are terrified of anyone with, hence, anyone who's conformed the world system is terrified of you unless you don't have the anointing. Then they will mock you. If they mock you by mistake, not respecting the anointing, their lying lips will be shut for them so they don't have that problem again, and their own will cut them from the herd so they don't have that problem again. They will also be demoted so they don't have that problem again, because Satan does not want to fight with anyone with the anointing of the Lord. He does not want to fight with the Lord's prophets. He doesn't want to fight with angels in human flesh, with workers of the word, with ministers that heal the sick, with the people with powers. He doesn't want to fight with them, because he knows once their people are cast back into the pit, that's it. Once one of these people conform to the world, who is one of them? I saw one of them once take my truck, and they messed with it, and they were doing something, but it was, spiritual warfare. You know it when you're in it. I'm in it all the time, so on almost a daily basis. But to a certain extent. And then a lot of time I'm not, because they'll back off. But they'll make a move, and then they'll be bound. And then the next time I went back to the mechanic, they've been there for, 15 years. And then they weren't there anymore. And then I got a nice job done on the truck after that. But that's the typical, that's just like a daily thing. Had they not been so proud, haughty, and arrogant in their circles, because when these people get together, they like action. They like to get together and watch, people have sex, let's say, and cheer it on, and, get the hookers going and the titty bars and get together and yeah, and the groups. So that distracts them a lot of the time, because they're very carnal. Very carnal people. It's just once in a while, then they'll perceive, they'll think they got something going on. And a person like that's carnal has no power. They think they do, And then they will endlessly complain that they're being whammied because they don't have power. They can't just walk through. Because why? They're obsessed with the things of the world. Performance, doing good, doing bad, what someone thinks, what they don't think. A person like this could be picked off instantly, bound forever. That's it, done. Work for a living, work for a living. We're here free. Drop out. You work, you do it under the Lord. You don't work for a boss. You don't work for somebody here that says, I'm your boss. You say, I'll take the job on. I'll do better than everybody else because I'm working for my Lord. He wants me to do a good, honest day's work. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a good, honest day's work from a person that's not going to get involved in gossip fest or at the water cooler or any of these other carnal activities, who's just going to do the work and go. Whether you promote him or not, it won't matter. Because he's working for the Lord, not you. Because he'll rely on the Lord for his promotion, not you. Because he won't worry what you think, because he is worried about what the Lord thinks. This person's very powerful. They may be a janitor, but they're very powerful. And if one of you needs help, you might go to that janitor and get some prayer, because that prayer might heal you and set you on the right track. Because it's all, the Lord lets it so that we can be thrown into peril. He allows us to be, nobody has a free ride. Nobody can just walk through this world without paying attention, no more than you can drive down the wrong side of the freeway or off, off an on-ramp because you weren't paying attention. Nobody gets a free ride. Nobody is going to get a pass. Nobody gets is allowed to operate without discernment. You will keep failing. They will keep throwing stuff on you. You will keep having to be cleaned up. You will keep having a muddy face. You will keep getting a black eye. You will keep getting a bloody nose until you advance. And usually that means until your total attention is on the things of the Lord and not on other people, their problems, gossiping, praying over silly things that have nothing to do with anything that's important that's going on, which is about 90% of what goes on out there. Praying over silly things that mean nothing. If you want to pray over something small, that's fine. The Lord does not, pray that the sun comes up tomorrow. Pray that they accept my recommendations. Pray that they do a good job on my fingernails. Pray that they, please pray they don't come against, that you can do yourself. You don't need to involve other people. If you're walking with the Lord, of course, he's going to look out for you. There's a general thing, but it doesn't mean don't pay attention to the signposts. It doesn't mean that you can just walk through. If you just walk through in your own understanding, you'll get your butt kicked and good, and you're going to get it kicked over and over again till you wake up. Realize that you have powers that you're not using. You're going to other people who you think have more powers than you do, which they don't. You're trying to engage people in prayer to get things done, but then you're really mad at Jesus because things aren't happening fast enough. When it all could have been dealt with already anyway, but you blocked it, you're the one to blame, but you blame other people. You blame everybody but yourself. You've been given the golden ruby slippers. You could have gone home the whole time, in other words, but you had to go on the Wizard of Oz Odyssey because you thought you had no power. The entire story of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz can be summed up in one way. Here's a woman who had the power to go home at any time, but because she didn't feel she had any power, she put her life and the life of others in jeopardy. Period. End of story. But she had the power all the time. She didn't realize it. I don't want to be back here again next month. I really don't. Because you know, there is a real problem, you know, with a lack of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible says. So you hear the word of God, hearken unto the word of the Lord. That means if you go into the word, into your Bibles at any time when you're unsure, and read and study and show yourself approved of God, that you're vigilant, that you're willing to study his word, you'll be understanding the powers that you have, because it's explained in the word better than I can explain it. One who does not use powers is like one who sees but doesn't see. Do you understand? One who does not use the powers, one who somehow feels destitute, because you see, the world will desert you. They will get things to fall out just when you need them to happen. All those are tests along the way. If they're orchestrated in a very mathematical way, then you know it's coming from an orchestrated, intelligent being. And God allows it because he wants to see what you'll do if you feel alone and destitute. Are you going to be in joy? Or are you going to live in fear? Are you going to live in fear and not take command of the situation? Is it not enough for you to have that your friend is the Most High God who looks over you and who's right with you in that moment? Would having a couple of your other friends around make it better? If that's the case, then you fail the test. You see, the Lord has given you everything you need to be extremely happy. In fact, giddy. Giddy and dancing. Giddy and singing songs. Giddy and just whistling as you walk down the street with a happy whistle. You know, not with a satanic whistle. There's a satanic whistle. And that's just basically, they'll chirp like a bird to alert others that there's one of you in the room. So they'll start whistling to one another to make sure they all know we got one. And the reason they whistle is because the demon in them, because they're demon possessed, or they wouldn't whistle. Those people, the whistlers and the slaves, I call them, are the whistlers who are slaves. Several people that are being touted on Christian radio shows did that very thing in my presence. One in particular, who's touted as a big Christian writer. Totally possessed. Totally working for Lucifer. Totally working for the other side. Completely vetted as a Christian because of the people online. But there's a happy whistle too. That's a slave whistle. When this happened to do with having a coffee in a Borders bookstore, and I saw the person using this whistle to alert others, then refused to have coffee with me, and I mean sitting there, listening to me talk, and I feel like saying, I'll say it now, don't you know I'm a son of the Most High God? Don't you know that doing that game right now that you're doing is going to get your butt kicked? Don't you know that you are not doing yourself any favors by being a servant of Satan? Don't you know that your father is the father of lies? Don't you know that you have no power compared to me? None. Don't you know that I just bound you and I bound your tongue? I bound your career. I bound it all. So you've been limited right where you are. I had the right to do that. Don't you know that the entire meeting that we had wasn't about you being polite to me, because I would not conform to your way of the world so I could join the Vineyard Church, which you're the worship leader of? Don't you realize that you've been taken out, buddy? That the Lord simply sent me there as a messenger to you, to give you a word, it was for you, to put you on notice. Don't you know that your Satan people threw you to the wolves that day, that you whistled? You might have gotten a couple whistles back, but by and large, I walked out of their job well done. You walked out puffed up. And no, I don't pray for you, because you've already made the sin unto death and you've already gone the other way. So I don't pray for that. 1 John 5 tells me not to pray for the sin unto death. So no, I don't offer you God's speed You're the enemy of the Lord. You're a double, a triple, a quadruple enemy because you go around saying you believe in God and Jesus and preaching the word and being in church. And because of that, you're an enemy of the state. You've been tagged and you're going to be held right where you are. You're going to be, yes, allowed to be amongst your own people, other Satanists who say they serve the Lord. That's fine. You can be in your little club. But you were exposed a couple, 3 years ago, along with some of your buddies who are also authors. And boy, that created a stink on the net. But you can all go have your UFOs and have your little time of it. But just know that you never fooled the Lord, that he sees who you are. You have no anointing. You have no standing. You have no power. You still don't, and you will not. Anyway, I was sent there to do the will of the Lord. They believed that they were getting their hands on me, and they were going to get me to see it their way, and they were going to get credit for conforming me to the way of Satan so that they could then cash in and get a big pop while the Lord was doing his work. And we simply went in and bound them, and I further bind them in the name of Jesus, and they're there. I mean, well, there's no need to bind them now because it was done. And it was exposed back when I had the show and written about in a secular way. So they know who they are. And no, there's no mistake. And there's no mistake that they're satanic. So when people promote them on their radio shows, I wonder then, well, why is that? Why is that? If they're false, if they're misleading, if they're all trying to be like mini George Norris and have their coast-to-coast shows, if they're all obsessed with the UFOs and the paranormal and the occult, and they're promoting all that on all the airwaves because they think you want to hear conspiracy, to boost themselves as authors and filmmakers and speakers at these idiotic functions like Roswell, New Mexico, if they're going to be doing all this, why haven't you woken up yet? You're doing the will of Satan when you hang out with them. Why don't you have discernment to know that, you know, there's no mistake. They got it wrong. They're a blight. They're taking people down. Their spirit in them is the danger because those powers have the powers to, when they're doing it in the name of Jesus and laying hands on people, what's happening is those people are being possessed. So, I don't get it. Why haven't you stomped their guts out? I've already taken care of business, but why haven't you? Because it's a lonely world, see? We got to have some friends. We can't just all be alone and be out there in the wilderness. Well, let me explain what my function is. My function is to do the will of the Lord and the will of the Lord only, period. If I do something else and I get caught up in my own will or the world or anything else, what happens is I'm doing the bidding of the evil one. You have to, let me get down to what the battle is all about. Because it's not about, you know, pussyfooting around here playing favorites. You can't care whether you have them as a friend or not. Or because you like UFOs and they like them, you're both in the same. That's not the issue. Or you might be alone and have no one to talk to, but that might be good for you. You're talking about principalities and powers. It seems that I know more about it than most people who say they know a lot about it. But I've had to keep my powder dry, and I have not been allowed to tell you the things I know. Others have blabbed on, and I can just tell you this. The others who prop themselves as experts in spiritual warfare, they're not. They're just rudimentary. They've only know the first, and I don't want to, lest I should boast. I don't want to get into that. I can just say it. Let me put it this way. They think they have powers they don't have. When results don't come, they just throw their arms up and go, oh, well, rather than how might we call it? I mean, I've been out there publicly in my position, not hanging out with the homies, not doing this double-minded game of, you know, I'm really with the world, but I'm with Jesus, so leave me alone while I do my conspiracy theory stuff, because I got them all convinced I really am the truth and the way with Jesus, even though I'm still a member of Satan's club. I'm hoping that this all makes it work out. Okay, that kind of person is like the main kind of guest. 100% of the guests on Coast to Coast are like, who say they're Christian, are in that category. Or they, if they were really straight up, they'd have me on every other week, and not that I would ever do it again, because I don't, we went up. I was sent there three times, and three times the Lord's will was done. And then he said, that's it. You won't go back there. I said, thank you very much. I don't look back. I'm just here to do the will of the Lord and move on. This last week, I've had to bind several Christian speakers and people who say they have ministries and do spiritual warfare because they were not doing the will of the Lord. Even if I don't physically or mentally say anything, it's not that. If it comes to my attention, then the work of the angels and the powers, just, you know, the power of Jesus and his powers and his people goes to work. Certain people were credited with the Todd Bentley thing of taking him down, but that's not the way it worked. He was taken out already before the first, he was already bound before the first revival. And so whatever came after that did not bind him, did not expose him, did no good whatsoever. Whatever came after that did not realize that he had already been taken care of. So this is why I know they don't have the anointing of the Lord, because they kept going, oh, please pray against this one and that one. Same with the false prophets of the hurricanes. They were already dealt with before there was any notoriety. But then other people and groups kept after it like gossiping, but it had already been dealt with. It was time to move on, and people just didn't move on. They chewed the fat and chewed it and chewed it. It's just disgusting. It had nothing to do with reality. And so that had to be, I dropped that from my roster. Had to drop that whole wing of individuals because they could not see that it was already accomplished on day one. That God TV was already done in day one. TBN, all that, that's already been dealt with. There's nothing there to do other than if you don't have an anointing, you don't hear from the Lord, then go ahead and keep praying repetitively over and over again. I bind Paul Crouch. I bind this. I bind. Go ahead. Much of this has already been done so that you have the, really, you need to go on and say, okay, well, Lord, what do you have for me today? Maybe you'll be going to a hospital today and walking through for the healing of some child with leukemia. I mean, I know that's a big hassle for the people online. They'd never do that. I remember back in the 90s, like around 1991, where I did some healings on people. Where I went to strangers and went door to door and things like that. But it was never like, hey, I'm a healer. It was always like I was sent there on a mission because I had those powers. I was given that. So, I mean, people that know me know I've always had that my whole life since I was born. So I would do that. 1991, that was the work of the Lord. And also when I was a kid. But then people come to me because they want their lives healed, their careers on track. And they find out about this, and then they have me hang close, and their careers blossom, things go well, and instead of me just giving it to them freely, they feel like they have to take it through manipulation, because I'm obviously a stupid idiot, because I walk completely with the Lord outside the system, or whatever it is they're thinking. They have to steal it. They have to control it. And that, all that means is that they get 1 to 3 years of delusion to think they did something, and then the rug is pulled, and then that's it. Skeletonville. But of course, it's systematized where there's 2, 3 years here. Yeah, it's very specific spiritual warfare, or just existence and what goes on here on earth. There are things that work against demons and things that don't. I had a big one thrown on me, a huge. I mean, it was a very powerful witch went up against her about a few weeks ago. No, not posing as a Christian. I mean, the real, I'm talking the real heavy duty generational bloodline. You know, people of power would go to this person to be, to have their souls blasted, no, to win elections and, you know, that sort of thing. And it was nasty. It was nasty. It was, turned into a healing for me because I was able to use it. I was able to use the energy to then bring a healing to myself. I know that may be hard for you to understand, but that became an opportunity. A lot of these spells are opportunities for growth. That's why they come at you. So it turned into, you know, it's like the occultists have their alchemist, right? They want to turn base metals. Well, what a person that knows how to do this can do is turn that into a blessing. So a curse became a blessing. But it was a vie for slavery. That's all it was. It was the Satan will try to enslave you, then try to get you to do something stupid, blackmail you, get you under somebody's spell. Then you stay there under their spell. Then they try to pervert you by getting you into carnal things. And then, of course, Satan will be the advocate against you and say, oh, look, he did this, he did that. You see what I mean? But it dealt with perversion. And it dealt with trying to open up old healed wounds that had been healed before and try to open those wounds up, take advantage, slide in, get control in order to control somebody else through me. Very big. And who knows how many cats or dogs or even people died on that one. Bloody business. It's a bloody business. And it's all pretty legal in the sense that people don't get caught. But I see it. Anyway, it was on me, and here I am. It's on me. And I realized it was on me, and I had, it took me a few days to actually get rid of it. And no, it was such that I could not go to other people because of the fact that it was to remain, it just had to remain confidential. So there I was dealing with it. And nasty. It was wrestling with a huge demon. It was wrestling with something on the same power of Satan or a top general, something on that level. And it was cast out. And it became, like I say, a beginning then of a real uplift in spiritual power through healing of myself of yet another layer. And pretty soon there won't be any more healing to do. Pretty soon. I'll be waking up into what the purpose is. Not yet. That will be revealed. And that it's soon to be revealed. And all this may sound mysterious, but all this is the language of the spirit. This is the language of existence of those in the realm of God. I can hear a lot of people going, yeah, me too, similar, yeah. I can hear a lot of you relating to this, what I'm saying, in your own lives. But this one was very nasty, very powerful, very visual, visceral, the kind of thing where people complain about being held down at night, right? Abducted by demons on an alien spacecraft. It was kind of on that level. Although I was not exactly helpless. I was in a struggle. It wasn't like, like I could just grunt and dismiss it with a wave of my hand. How many Christians out there believe they can just say a little oomph to doom to do and it's gone? No. You start with an oomph to doom to do and it's not gone. A little more oomph to doom to do, it's still not gone. Lights and things start blinking, weird things start happening, computers start manifesting, other things start manifesting, people start calling, all kinds of stuff starts going off. Doop de doop to doom, still not gone. So what am I doing wrong? I was right up with Jesus the whole time. No, you got to earn it. You're going to get a little bloody. You're going to hang in there and defeat it. And really, when I engaged with my own will, that was the missing component. Yeah, I was saying all this stuff in Jesus' name. I was doing all this stuff in Jesus' name. I was sitting there trying not to be seduced by this thing. In Jesus' name. oh, I'm beyond that. Oh, no, every man would fall to these powers. But until my will engaged, I couldn't defeat it. I said until my will engaged, I couldn't defeat it. And we're going to explain this to you. Until I did it, I couldn't defeat it. Saying, Jesus, help me, did not defeat it. Until I defeated it, it was then defeated. And because Jesus gave the power to me to do it and expected me to take care of business. But I kept going, Jesus, Jesus, hey, Jesus. Oh, hey, Jesus, fix this. Hey, Jesus. Hey, out there, why have you abandoned me? This thing's kicking my butt, Jesus. Please get rid of it. Nothing doing, buddy. And so I took care of business like I did in 1991, like I did in 1985, like I did in 1973 or 1976, like I did back, oh, got a long history of this. I had forgotten to use my own will as I had so many times before. Because I got controlled by the Christian programming of not my will be done, but thy will be done, which then was used to separate us from the power Jesus gave us in the first place. That's a mind control trick, by the way. So I took care of business and I smashed it and destroyed it, and that was the end of it. And then it never came back again. It was gone. Thank you, Lord, because I was here made to do a certain thing, and yet I was expecting something else to do what I was made to do. He made me to take care of business, but I was expecting some invisible thing to take care of business for me. This stuff, if it gets bad enough, goes to people shooting each other. You know that, right? And then they go, I don't know what happened. There was a demon there. I killed him. You know, when people are unknowledgeable about what to, because in the world I'm in, guns won't help you. Plenty of people have aimed, you know, guns at me or planned to do me in and all that stuff. Never showed up. They never made it. Never got even close. Guns won't help you. Your own power in terms of brute force, your fists, guns, all that won't help you in my world. We don't need guns. We don't need swords. We don't need knives. We don't fight that way. Ephesians 6:12, we fight against principalities and powers. We fight because we've been given the power to fight. It's in the Bible. Read your Bibles. We have been given the power to bind all devils. To bind all devils, Jesus tells us. Not some, all. In other words, to bind all and every, not just to bind, but to defeat, not just to bind them and put them out of business forever, at least for the rest of their time on earth, to cast them back to hell from whence they came. And if they have a host, if they have a host, which most of them do, which is a human, most of the time that human's already given the right to the demon that's in them because they get addicted to the power. So we cast the whole thing out. We don't just say, spare the human, but cast the demon. No, that's another false thing. People that do that are wrong. It's you're dealing with one entity, not two. At a certain point, could there be a mistaken demon possession? And of course, the Catholic Church is wrong when they say only these astute cases where you have levitation and you have, you know, like the exorcist head twisting around, then there's a call for an exorcism, because they can only deal with what they can see and feel and hear. They're very carnal. They don't see in the spirit. Most demonic possession does not involve supernatural events that would wow people, because they don't want to be detected, number one. And most people that are possessed have good jobs and are living a high up lifestyle and would never be considered to be possessed. I mean, would you say the newscaster on TV is possessed? Of course not, but he is. Because he can't be there unless he is. Just like without being possessed of the Holy Ghost, I can't do the will of the Lord. I can't be on earth. I can't be a person without the Holy Ghost. Can't. Can't do it. So they couldn't be on TV without the demonic spirit in them. Say, look at the eyes. They're twisting around. No. You're not going to see any manifestation. That's conspiracy wackos trying to make something out of. No, just like you're not going to You're going to sense an aura. You're going to sense an energy, a vibration, something like that. But that's about it. And by the way, I pay attention to those signposts because that tells me in any given situation what the lay of the land is. Notice I speak with great confidence. It's because I have, you know, the victory in Christ Jesus who gives me strength, which is another scripture you should pay attention to. But because I've been given the power over all devils, and because the Lord is with me to do his will, and because I inquire of him before going into a situation, and then I take care of business. Well, even if I'm not really fully, like every minute thinking about God, God, God. No, I'm just being me, going, being, just existing. He made me to do what I do. But he made all the servants of the Lord, all the true disciples of Jesus, all the true brethren, all the true lambs written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all have these abilities and all, you know, for the most part, that they just are, they do what God made them for. In other words, some are there to bind demons. Others are there to do the healings. Others are there, and they just go do them. And some of them are not even conscious that they do them. And that's true. For many years, I did them unconsciously, and I still do. Whether it's a word, a deed, something that happens, it's supernatural. People say, well, it's not you doing all this stuff, Z. It's the Lord in you doing it. And I say amen to that. But it is me. It is me. Because I've not only given permission, I have become that by my own will. Because the alternative was basically death, okay? So I'm that's not on the... So I had to be, you know... So yeah, if the power of clairvoyance is given so that you know when to get out of a situation, that's just the Lord giving you something so he can shout in your ear to go ahead and get out of there. Go ahead and go this way. How many times did Jesus slip away with the power of invisibility? Many. How did he slip through the crowd if they were after him? Suddenly couldn't see him. How many of you remember the one time in the restaurant where some of you were there where I said, I would just prove to you I'm invisible. And I walked by these tables and basically clapped in their faces, and they did not acknowledge I was there. They did not see me. I just wanted to make a point. Maybe people forgot that. I don't know. Where has that power come from? That's the power of survival given by the Lord. Why don't we talk about all this? Oh, it all smacks of witchcraft. No, it's not witchcraft. It's the opposite of it. So when there's a big demon, you either take care of business or you leave that establishment. You don't sit there and get your butt kicked, do you? You don't have to make a big deal out of walking out of a place, do you, at any given time? Right? Let me give you a good case in point. They're waiting for you at your local hospital, in doctor's offices, in dental offices. They're going to just tell you step by step what you need to do. Most people just go, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and go right through and do what the doctor tells them. And they go right on to death because they don't have any discernment. That's basically the whole point, is to take them out. Not every time. Nope, get a good doctor too. Yeah, ask the Lord to lead you to a good one. Sure. You understand what I'm saying, though? And because it's socially an abnormal to get up and storm out of a place or to get up and, you know, throw the IV off and go get your clothes and leave, they're horrified. They don't know what to do. They've never seen such behavior as that. But that better be in your repertoire because that may be the only reason you survive. That better be in your repertoire to go against. The only way that's going to be there is if you don't care what people think and you don't care about so-called social norms and conformity, because conformity means you'll go to the doctor and do whatever they say. No, I am so grateful. I mean, you know, it is kind of trying when people think you're a fool. They don't see that you already know that they're thinking that you're already 10 steps ahead of them and they think you're behind them. So they do something stupid. Then they have to get taken out. Oh, let's just say taken care of. But then that's the Lord's will. He doesn't put us in situations where there is not something to do. Every social situation and societal situation you find yourself in, there is work to be done. You're put there for a reason. Everything has a reason. There is no coincidence. If you be a Lamb of God, then you're there for a purpose that has to do with others. At least, you know, and of course, with angels, that's their entire purpose. Everything they do is, you know, that work. It's their whole life exists to help in that way. All right. Now, I don't expect you to do anything with all this. I just wonder if you will understand a little more about how to survive in the spirit. It doesn't mean if someone, by the way, they lose their lives, like Stephen being stoned to death or something like that, that doesn't mean he's any less of a servant. That means he was called to be a martyr, and he became that, and he proved that there was no pain in death, and, oh, death, where is thy sting? There was no sting. There was nothing but bliss. And that, of course, confounded them because they worship being alive. It's like, well, dude, you're worshiping something that's going to end anyway. Well, then I'll get the Lord later. He won't be found. People say that, and they never find the Lord. They go, I've seen it over and over. They become feeble, taken care of by other people, and then pushed off the cliff. And they perish, and they're gone, and they're roasting in the fires of hell, if that be done, or cut off. But in any capacity, I could just tell you this. They won't be with the Lord, but maybe they don't care. But then again, if you saw the consequences of this life and realized the horrors that await people, should they do nothing about salvation? Should they be in this life and think it was all about doing their own thing or building their company or doing whatever it was they were doing? Should they die and then be punished so severely and with no way out, and their hearts yearning, wishing they could come back, like the story of Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man who said, can I please come back and warn people not to do what I've done as a rich man? Because here I am, basically in hell. And there's Lazarus, a poor beggar that I scoffed at. Here he is on Abraham's bosom. I want to warn them. And the Lord says, you had plenty of warning. You had plenty of warning, rich man. Now you're roasting, but you had warning. Now you're suffering, and you're suffering is unending, but you had warning. All you had to do. Well, here's the hardest thing for our people. When the Satanists think they got something going on, and they don't, and then they lord it over you like you're supposed to be their slave and do what they want, what they tell you to do, because they think you're stupid. Oh, my God. I can't tell you how many people have gone to destruction that way. Because remember, pride goeth before a fall. And when these people get together in twos and threes, they become very boastful and prideful. And they start trying to use the power in their mind. They have powers in their minds. They're given. They have powers. They have also superhuman strength if they need to use that. And this is the demon within them. Yes, can give physical matter superhuman strength. And they use those powers, the demons within them, to go bully people, and they make people fall and stumble, and or make girls have sex with them. And they feel like they're slashing, burning. They feel real powerful. Then they meet one of you. And suddenly, the party ends. Whatever force of power they had, gone. Nothing. Cardboard in a windstorm. And on that day, my friends, they're either going to fish or cut. You've done them a favor. You've shown them they're powerless and they're fools. And you didn't boast yourself. You just, most of the time, you sat there and took their attacks, and then you still stood there while they weren't standing anymore. You didn't do anything like, yeah, none of that. You just walked through peaceably and just ding. Your prayer was, Lord, protect me as I walk through this place, or whatever it was, in the workplace. And then you watched as the company broke up, as the CEO was thrown in jail, as the people all disbanded, as they went to the unemployment line with no prospects. And you watched all this without raising your voice. You just prayed that the Lord's will be done. That justice is served. That vengeance belongs to the Lord. And that, please protect me, O Lord, from these bullies that are just throwing their stuff on everyone, expecting everyone to go around and do their bidding. If they utter it, you have to jump up and be their slave. But they really want to degrade you and, you know, force you into shame and slavery. And Lord, could you please stop that from happening? And I bind it because I am, yeah. But all very quietly from the desk of the secretary, this was done. Because see, evil, let me go through the evils. Jealousy, envy. All these things all, can anybody be possessed? Anybody. Those who commit the sin unto death being conformed to the world, that's another thing. That's in America, that's the norm. So therefore, we don't have a lot of time praying for other people except our brethren, because when a person makes that decision, that's the sin. There's nothing you can do. I'm sorry, but they used to call themselves the Grateful Dead. Remember that band, the Grateful Dead? But we call them the sad, because they're dead, even though again, like yesterday's word, they're just props on the board. They're no longer living. They're no longer, there's a lot of Christians that pray over all that. They pray, oh, please. It's like, we're not to pray over the dead. I said, we are not to pray over the dead. We don't pray over the dead. We don't pray for the sin unto death. All right, well, that's enough. I think that's enough for you to handle. I don't know that there's a lot more for me to impart. I think I'm going to change my style of delivery. There's no need for me to act like a preacher anymore. There's no need for me to, raise my voice like I'm in church or whatever, because I'm not going to be in church. I said, I'm not going to be in church. I've withdrawn the offer. I'm not going to be at funerals. I withdraw the offer. I'm not going to offer prayers for the dead at a funeral. Sorry. I don't touch the dead. I don't look on the dead. As far as I'm concerned, the dead are gone. That's it. It's over. Next. The standard prayer for the families of those who have departed is this. I pray that they wake up, that this grief causes them to wake up. And that's basically the beginning and end of my prayer. That's all I pray. I don't pray, oh, Godspeed. Why? So you can go and slash and burn and, you know, hurt the children of God and go through with your being a bully and lording it over everybody else and being selfish. And no, I'm not going to pray for that. Sorry. Sin unto death? No. Pray that you conform your kids to to Satan's way and simply call it a rite of passage. Excuse me. Since when is death, before you even get started living, a rite of passage? Since when is that? Never. Never has been, never will be. You can call it right over and over. You can say you're right over and over and over again all your life. You can justify selling your kids out over and over and over and over and over and over again. You will always be wrong. Always. Further, if you don't care about yourself, that you're a zombie and you have no prospect, you have no future now in your late 50s, you've got nothing to look forward to. Don't do it to your kids if you're having a bad time. It doesn't matter. You will do it. You will do it because you won't get up out of the doctor's office chair if they're fixing to make mistakes with you or if it's not right. You won't do something abnormally, socially abnormal. You won't stand up for your rights. You're just going to do what you're told, get huddled and hurtled into some kind of a concentration camp. Switching the example here, and go ahead and line up to be shot and go on that way. And that's you, because you have no courage, because you're afraid. You were told Satan is defeated by Jesus and his children walk on. But now you say, oh, yes, but they're not rich. Oh, but they're considered to be fools by the world. Well, of course. Anyone who is walking with the Lord and not with the world is considered to be a fool, because they're believing in something that the world would say is pie in the sky. They can't see it and feel it and touch it. So they think people that believe like that are fools. I have tried to help this society, but I have failed. I have failed to reach this society because they are too far gone in their decadence. And they are not about to repent anytime soon. And the reason I have failed is because the churches have succeeded. And they are there to reinforce what's on television. Their idea of separation is not listening to that satanic music. They're idiotic, yes, but they think you're an idiot. Their idiotic notion of separation is not dressing in clothes that a Satanist might be in. Even though we're on the same page. Even though, hey, we're all just humans now. We all got to fight together and bring this thing in for the big win. Obama's going to unite us all, and we're all going to get together regardless of what religion, creed, color, and we're going to get together and work for a great outcome because this is America. That's all they're going to preach. And that is an abomination unto the Lord in every way possible. Because whenever the Lord's not considered, which that whole notion of patriotism and pulling together as a team and making it work out and all that is. So when there's a problem, we don't inquire. We give a little bit of prayer, but we don't really inquire. When people fast and pray in the churches, what do? They're praying that we'll all come together and join Fox Television in being conservatives because that's God's way. Again, failure. And they will always fail so long as they are 501c3. It just doesn't even matter what they say, what their intentions are. So long as that connection is there, they will never succeed. They will always fail 100% of the time. I don't care how much they, but the gospel's stronger than that 501c3. You say, you got to get with the program. No, it's not stronger. Now, in an individual way, I say, yeah, you know, people doing the work of the Lord prayer, they might be affiliated with 501c3, just like, you know, you might put gas in your car. They say that's all the same thing. Well, fine. Let them say all that. That's wrong. Many works can be done in Jesus' name. Check out Matthew 7. You can cast out devils. You can prophesy in the name of Jesus. You can conduct spiritual warfare and win. That is, prevent yourself from being taken out by some evil witch at work. And still be on your way to hell. If hell is, and I love to play the ifs here. If hell is roasting and burning in a world that's just fire and brimstone, fine, that's where you're headed. If hell is dust to dust being cut off as if you never were, then let's call that hell. Either way, to those about to die, meaning to be perished to dust, your lives never mattered. Everything you did is erased. And in the dustbin, in other words, everything you did was a waste of time because you thought your purpose was doing anything you could do to put food on the table when last time we told you that's your instinct, that's everyone's instinct, not your purpose. Ecclesiastes 12. The whole duty of man is to obey God and to serve Him. Everything else is vanity. Then they will say, but we are serving God. And then I will give you another scripture. Because you're the same people that persecute God's people. They will persecute you, throw you into prison, and even kill you, and believe they are doing God's service. That's what the Bible says. They will believe they're doing God's service when they come against you, and they pray you down. They will believe they're doing God's service when they imprison you or cause you to be thrown in jail. Many people in jail that are gods, who maybe haven't woken up, wrong place, wrong time, scapegoats, whatever. Well, now you're in the right place, you people in prison, because you have a chance. But the same system that is here is there. And the fear factor of being killed for the faith still runs high. You think anyone in America is going to risk death for faith? No. So they're going to conform, and then they're going to say they have Jesus and go to their local church, and there's no risk of any death there. There's no persecution. But Jesus said, no servant's greater than his master. I mean, I'm not talking about someone disagreeing with you on the Bill O'Reilly show. I'm talking about persecution and death, you know, serious stuff. Are they going to risk their lives? No. So they're not brethren, right? And you do not say Godspeed because they've committed the sin unto death. And that's basically the way. No, do they want you to hear this? No, of course they don't. What can they do about it? It's already been uttered. It's already said. It's already out of the bag. What are they going to do about it? This is just what the Bible says. If you read your Bible, you'll see it says all the same exact things. There's nothing outside of the Bible. Powers. It's amazing. The story of Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they were both struck down dead, and Peter spoke that word to them. Boom. Nothing far more bloody than your life. Big, huge, conspiratorial stuff there. Or Paul being thrown into prison for preaching the word. Peaceably, I might add. Or apostles being killed. Or Herod killing the firstborn to get Jesus so the Messiah could not be born. That wouldn't happen unless there was a pretty big reason. So churches, I just say this. I'll give you a word. You are not going to reform. You are not going to get right with the Lord. You are not going to change. You are not going to listen to me at all. You are going to continue to serve your world rather than God. And you're going to continue until you are stopped. And my only prayer is on that day when you are stopped, that you finally then, many of you pastors are born again on that day. Since you're not born again now and never have been, you never have known the Lord, yet you did go to seminary and you did get your divinity degree, your doctor of divinity, and you sit there preaching and you have not a clue what you're talking about. And that's most of you. Anyway, I'm done. I'll see you next time.
First I saw Nixon, who said you must worship Satan. Then I saw the Old Boy Network and they said, we won't harass you. And then I said, no, let me butt in line. And they said, he doesn't control that. It's a time-honored tradition. So you can kick out. You can check out. In fact, you can check out anytime you like and never arrive in the first place. Hotel Californication went bankrupt and was not there. The grip of contracts and glad handing never happened because the leader had nothing to offer. Nothing could be offered anyway because Satan had no power, no material, nothing to give. He said it's a zero-sum game, but someone else owns it all. Go see him. I'm done because I got what I came for. Thank you for your souls. Now go away.
Go away. Go be a player. Now go away. Now you got something special. Now come closer. I want you to have it your way. Come on. I gave it all to you.
And you.
I love you. Yes, I do. I love you. Yes, I do. show. Now come closer. I want you to have it your way.